good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, January 23rd, 2023. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just great, thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I really am. It's Monday, and it's been kind of a snowy day here, but not bad. I'm not complaining.
I didn't think Monday would ever get here.
Oh, you really didn't like the weekend, huh?
Well, I just figured I'd say that because usually we're whining about how fast it went. So I figured, well, today I'm going to be a little different. I'm going to say, man, I didn't think it'd ever get here.
Well, I'll tell you what, Melody, days go by as fast anymore that they're like a blur to me. They really are.
They are. I know. So sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing, but here we are anyway.
Yep,
but
we're
so
here.
It is hard to believe that January is almost over.
It is. But the lucky folks out there have us back today. Aren't they lucky?
How about that? And I'm lucky to be back with you.
Well, yeah, I truly enjoy the programs. I seriously do. It's fun when you're here with me because they can banter back and forth and laugh a little bit. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I have fun too. And we get great listeners. We really
do.
We do. And so let's go ahead and get to see what gold did today. Gold was up in the New York spot price after market. We're looking at $4.44, $1,931. Silver was down 48 cents at $23.53. Platinum was up $5 at $1,057, and palladium was down $1,788. You have the USDX today up 0.09 at 102.08. Crude oil, I'll have to get crude oil on the next page that we go to. Let's see, the Dow. Let's see. Was up 254 points, 33,629. S&P was up 47 at 4,019. The NASDAQ was up 223, 2% to be exact, 11,364. You have Europe, was positive across the board. Asia, was everyone's happy in Asia also. 10-year yield, 3.52%. And you have, let's see, WTI was really not changed at 81.66. Brent was barely changed at 88.12. Natural gas was up 8.5%, 3.44. And so, you know, just a kind of a sleepy kind of a Monday with the Dow, certainly, and that's all due to Fed rate path, thinking that, you know, they're going to start easing off and so forth. So, you know, as they probably will with the strong numbers in the stock markets, you know, they don't have anything to fear. So, yeah, it's who knows what they'll do and who cares? Because the bottom line is it really doesn't matter what they do. We can talk about it. We can, you know, analyze about it. We can speculate. We can do all kinds of things about what the Fed's going to do. But in the long run, it doesn't really matter what they do. No. It's temporary fixes to get us through the next day. And, you know, kudos to them for being able to do that. You know, does it mean that they're doing a good job? No, it just means that they're better at juggling their finances than at, but they have a bigger pocketbook to do so. They have a bigger checkbook to do so. So good job? No. If they were doing a good job, well, we'd have real money. We'd have real gold and silver. We have a currency backed by gold and silver. And the funny thing about it is it really doesn't even have to be backed by 100% gold and silver. That might be key, but in today's world, in the world that we live, no, it wouldn't have to be, but some to help patrol the inflation numbers that we face on a daily basis. I saw Janet Yellen came out and she turned down the, you know, $1 trillion platinum coin idea, which, you know, again, that's been floating around for 20 years, 30 years, 20 years, I think, or longer. And, of course, they would never do that. So I don't know why it always comes up when, you know, the debt ceiling is about to be. But you have new people that never heard of it before, so that's always brought up. But tune in here, because I've been around a long time, and a whole 39 years, so I can tell you what's right and what's wrong, what's fake and what's real. So there really wasn't too much. I mean, there's a lot of news going on and so forth. But I really, I just didn't really see anything that, you know, really sparked my attention other than the same, you know, pretty much the same news, but maybe different firms and so forth. You know, cryptocurrencies, you know, everybody's, you know, happy about Bitcoin. And then they have done a phenomenal job on that. But again, it's still a Ponzi scheme. And you get all these people going in there just to buy nothing. So I think that's about it, Butch, for, like I said, I really didn't have too much, you know.
Well, I want to ask you a financial question, if you don't mind. I know it's not Wednesday, but I want to question anyway.
Okay.
The USDX was 114 just a few weeks ago, you know, a month or so ago. It's down to 102 now.
Yes.
What are we looking at difference in markets because of that?
Gold stronger.
Gold stronger? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's key factor. Mm-hmm. I just wondered about that. And I noticed that gold is flip-flop with palladium, too. Palladium was always running higher than gold. Now gold is higher than palladium.
Yeah, you know, platinum got hit. It got hit hard, and it has never been able to recover. Palladium, you know, platinum was replaced a lot by palladium, and that's why we saw palladium rise up to over, you know, 3,000. But again, I believe all things are relative, and every item is what it is and how it performs. And I do believe eventually platinum will, you know, go back to its standing. Because it certainly is more valuable than palladium. Okay. And but they have been using palladium in a lot of, palladium is used a lot. And I'm not quite sure which metal is used for the EVs. You know, some say silver. I don't know if platinum and palladium play a part in EVs. In the production of them, they wouldn't have catalytic converters, so not quite sure. I'll have to look that one up. So,
well, I know silver is used about everything industrial with electronics, so that's the mm-hmm. That's a biggie for silver. So I'm just curious about that. I mean, I didn't know what the difference would be, but you're right. The gold is starting to make a move again, and it's getting closer to the record.
Yeah, so, I mean, they really did run up the price of the dollar. They had to. But just always remember something. Government loves inflation. They need inflation, particularly with the amount of debt that we have. And we killed other currencies around the world. So they're all fighting back. And again, it's all planned. It's all planned. You know, it's all they. You know, you just can't tell me they don't all sit around, all the central banks and all these huge hedge funds, and sit around and politicians and plan a course. You know, what's going to happen when we run the dollar? How high can we run the dollar? And what's going to happen everywhere else? Well, this is going to happen, but this is what we need at this point in time to keep it going. You know, we'll reverse it and blah blah blah. We'll get to a certain point. We'll see a little bit of weakness in inflation. And again, that stronger dollar helped the imports, and we import a lot,
yes.
Show a lower price, made them cheaper. So it helped with their inflation report, and along with the slowing down of it. So, you know, now that we've had a softening in the inflation, we're seeing, you know, the dollar get a little weaker. So, you know, it's a combination of everything, Butch. But to me, you know, we see a weaker dollar, we're going to see a stronger price in gold. It's that simple.
Well, perfectly fine. That's why people should be buying gold and even silver ASAP, folks. It's going to get better and better as we go along. It really is. But, you know, I want to get this first article out of the way because I think it's such a sign of the times we live in. When we have a Supreme Court having to make decisions like this, you have to wonder just how far the nation's going. Now, folks, listen to this. I mean, I want you to listen to this. This is going to be a Supreme Court ruling soon. A Supreme Court ruling, not on a constitutional basis of real money or anything to do with it that's really constitutional. They're going to decide if bathroom bans for transgender use are poised for Supreme Court review. They're going to review this at the Supreme Court. Can guys use girls' bathrooms and vice versa? Now, that is such an important thing. We have to figure this out because no one knows what it'll be like. I mean, for 200 and some years, we've had it work. We use this gender we're supposed to. But all of a sudden, it's so tough, we can't figure it on our own. So we're going to have Supreme Court join us to tell us what bathroom we can use. When the Supreme Court heard arguments in 2019 about the rights of homosexual and transgender workers, the justice seemed fixation on bathroom had justice seemed fixated on bathrooms. In all, five justices explored questions related to who can use which bathroom. The bathroom did not figure in the cases before them. Let's not avoid the difficult issue, Justice Sonia Moore said, posting a hypothetical one. We have a transgender person who rightly is denying he's a woman and wants to use a woman's bathroom. She added, so the hard question is, how do we deal with that? David D. Cole, a lawyer from the American Civil Liberties Union, representing a transgender woman, seemed puzzled. That is a question, Justice Sotomayor, he said. It is not the question in this case. The justice pressed on. Once we decide the case in your favor, she said, then that question is inevitable. So before they made a decision, she always said, we're going to decide in your favor. The court did not decide the actual question before it, whether federal civil rights law protected LGBTQ workers from the employment discrimination and favored the workers by a 6-3 vote. But the justices have not yet addressed the question, Justice Sotomayor reviewed it as inevitable. A decision from the Federal Appeals Court in Atlanta last month may change that. So the Supreme Court's going to have to decide if I can use a woman's bathroom or vice versa. If I want to, I can use one. I mean, this is absolutely a nation that's full of insanity. Deuteronomy 28:28, the quote of all time, he said, I'll smite you with madness. There's nothing really much more insane than have the Supreme Court of the land to decide whether a man can use a woman's bathroom or vice versa. Isn't that really a sad statement for the low state of affairs in our country?
It really is. But you know what, though? If they rule the way we hope they do, then perhaps they might be ready to reverse the other thing that they approved
in 2015.
It was Obama. So to some degree, I'm kind of looking forward to see what they're going to say on this. I mean, the one in 2015 shouldn't have ever even got to the Supreme Court. That's not their job to make laws.
Make laws, no, it isn't.
And it will be interesting because I think based on whatever they come out with this one, will tell us what they're going to do with that one.
But we're paying these people big bucks to decide whether a boy can use a girl's bathroom. I thought they would decide a long time ago, didn't you?
I thought so, but you know, they had Brett Kavanaugh. He's had more protesters swarming his home last night. And it's just like, but nobody does anything about it.
No.
It's a terrible thing.
Just like the pro-life clinics in New York have been bombed and firebombed, and they got $25,000 reward out, whoever did it, and the feds have found nobody yet. That's amazing. Gee, it certainly is a turned-around society since I was a young boy. It really is. But anyway, we'll move on from that. And the next article is something that doesn't surprise us. Technology has been taking a hit. I take full accountability. Spotify slashes hundreds of jobs as tech layoffs intensify. Folks, this is really picking up speed. Add Spotify Technology SA to the growing list of tech companies laying off because they hired too many employees during the virus pandemic. We've read countless letters and memos from tech executives to employees over the last several quarters explaining how they made a colossal mistake by rapidly expanding operations because they thought pandemic demand wouldn't continue, but were entirely blindsided by the incoming slowdown and forced to reduce headcount and other cost-cutting measures. Like many other leaders, I hope to sustain the strong tailwinds from the pandemic and believe that our broad global business and lower risk to the impact of the slowdown in ads would insulate us. As a result of poor business planning, Daniel Ek says Spotify is planning to slice 6% of its headcount. The latest filings show that the music streaming giant has approximately 9,800 employees. The cut would be equivalent to about 600 jobs. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot when you work there. Again, technology is taking a huge hit, Melody, and they blame it on the pandemic. But I think it's a lot more than that. I think it's been building for a lot of years. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, the pandemic was 3 years ago. But it does take, but what I've been saying has been taking things, it does take a long time for things to funnel through and so forth, particularly when you have governments around the world that support things to keep things from happening. So it does take a little bit longer and so forth. But, you know, tech is always part of the problem, just like the bankers anymore. And so it is what it is. It's a sign. It's wake up out there. You know, this is just another area of of an industry that is having difficulty, just like the housing market. You don't hear anybody talking about the number of layoffs there.
No, you don't.
You know, it's one thing about building. I mean, builders, have all their loans through banks and so forth, so they have to build whether they sell them or not. So they'll keep building. But there's still a lot of layoffs, the mortgage companies, the mortgage areas, and so forth. But nobody talks about it.
I meant to look up today what the repossession figures were now. I didn't get a chance to do that. I know repos on cars are picking up really quickly. I don't know what they are for homes. It was overpriced on what that's been so far. And I don't understand how the businesses say they can't find workers. And the job numbers keep showing that everybody's working. I don't get it. I just don't understand that. But we'll get the retail exodus to continue. It says Nike's flagship store closed in Seattle after 26 years. Probably going to break in a second, but Nike, the flagship store in Seattle, is closed, Melody, because, that's just not the business isn't there anymore. And now we'll get that in a minute after the break, but I'm just wanting to look at this and seeing Nike, they've been around for a while, and it's a big name in the clothing industry. Nike tennis shoes. And why are they closing the store? Well, we'll discuss in a minute because people are not going downtown to shop in the stores anymore. And if they don't have foot traffic, they don't have business. And let's break down.
It is. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
True, Melody?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. She sounded a little squeaky there. I don't know. I don't know if that's who I... But anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. You did get some quarter ounce gold American Eagles to 2023 in, so we're running a pretty good price on those if people have been looking for some fractional gold, and we've been kind of staying away from it because the premiums were just so high. Those premiums are beginning to come down a little bit, so it's not really a bad time to buy some quarter ounce American Gold Eagles. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Wednesday. I don't know what I'm going to be talking about Wednesday. I think we're going to talk about some $20 gold pieces.
That'd be good.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Why are they important in a portfolio, and why do people like, you know, some other gold people refuse to sell them and talk badly about them? We're going to cover that.
That'd be a good topic. Excellent topic.
I might have to break it down into two shows, so, but we'll touch on a lot of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Back to the retail store Nike closing. This is I think in my mind a big move because this is a sign, I think, things to come. The exodus from Seattle looks like it's officially on. No sooner did the prepper report indicate Amazon is going to be letting an office lease in Seattle expire for only the second time ever, we also have come across news that Nike store, which had been open for 26 years on 6th Avenue and Pike Street in Seattle, has shut down. The Nike store has shut its doors for good, according to the Daily Mail. Right after its neighbor down the street, Regal Cinemas, also announced they would be rejecting the lease to Meridian 16 Multiplex one block away. "I'm heartbroken," one resident told the Seattle Times. "Pretty bummed," another added customer, who said he shopped the store on a weekly basis and that it would take him over an hour to get to Nike's new location. Business writer Paul Roberts for the Seattle Times noted about the closure, "Its exit sounds and an ominous note for a downtown that hasn't been able to catch its stride since the pandemic. For the rest of us, it's confirmation of what we have all seen with our own two eyes. Over the last half decade, U.S. cities are crumbling under the weight of high taxes, combative stances, and law enforcement, and the far-left's liberal policies." And I agree with that. We had a department store in Charleston, Melody, Charleston department store, been in business over 100 years. Is shutting down. So things are not like they used to be. Brick-and-mortar stores are starting to become kind of a luxury, at least in any store of any size. You may have small businesses pop up. I know some little towns around me where I live, Richwood and Lewisburg and other places, The storefronts are open, but they're tourist attractions mainly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no Five and Dimes or GC Murphy's or anything like that going in. They're going. They're out. They're finished. And a society, a city cannot just live on totally tourism. It just can't happen that way. But that's what's going on. Any comments on that?
Can a country?
No, a country can't. A country cannot always be consumers and maintain their wealth either. They have to manufacture something, Melody. America quit doing that a long time ago.
But that's what we've become. We've become a tourist and a service. Yep.
We have. And eventually that has to end. I mean, when you have a country that even depends for AIDS medicine to come from one of its enemy, we'll say enemy countries, how far gone is that country? It's not looking good. And along those lines, Kaiser Society, big banks prepare to launch digital wallet to compete with Apple Pay and PayPal. We're going this direction, Melly, whether you like it or not. We're going this direction. And I don't like it. You don't like it. Most folks don't like it. But we're going this direction. Major U.S. banks, including Wells Fargo, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, and others will push into the digital wallet space in the second half of this year to take on Apple Pay and PayPal. Early warning services, LSE, the bank-owned company that operates the money transfer service Zelle, will be managing the new digital wallet, according to WSJ. The wallet has yet to be named, but it will be separate from Zelle's and allow shoppers to pay at merchants' online checkouts with linked debit and credit cards. EWS plans to offer the new digital wallet later this year and can handle up to 150 million debit and credit cards during the initial launch. Consumers in good standing with banks will be eligible for the new service. The purpose of the digital wallet is to take on third-party wallet operators such as Apple and PayPal, according to people familiar with the matter. They said banks are concerned about losing businesses if a digital wallet is not released soon. Even though Goldman Sachs Consumer Unit that manages the Apple Card is a money-losing business, there's a plan to launch a high-yield savings account and buy now, pay later program. So we're going digital. There's no doubt about it. We're going digital. I don't like it, Melody, at all. I don't like that. It's another loss of what little bit of anonymity we once had. We're losing our chance to be private. It's all going to be taken away from us. I mean, it's just going. And we can't do anything about it. It's coming, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think
anonymity is going.
Well, it's been gone a long time ago, but it just wasn't with the, you know, currency. And, you know, I get this question asked probably 10 times a day about the digital currency coming to play. And my belief is before it becomes a real product in our lives, there's going to be a catastrophic event in order for them to rush it in. It's not going to be, gee, here it is, now you can use it. You know, I don't think it's going to work that way because people aren't going to use it anyway. You're going to have the percent, the new kids, the young people, they might use it and so forth. But the older, they're not going to use digital. It's not going to happen. So they're going to need some sort of a catastrophic event in order to rush in the program in digital. So look out for that catastrophic event.
Like the dollar going to nothing because of it loses world trade status?
Well, these are all, there's multiple things. That's going to happen, but I don't think that's going to be the main event. I think there's going to be something else that creates that for that to happen. So, I mean, it's because, you know, they're not going to want to create their own shock. So I think what's going to come is something that is even beyond their control. I always thought it would be, you know, when they're ready to pull the plug, they'll pull the plug and let everything fall. Well, I'm not so sure they want to pull the plug. I think they got to a point to keep the plug from falling, but they cannot control catastrophic events like war. They can't a catastrophic event like the Bank of Japan going belly up. If anybody wants to follow, if you want to follow, you know, something, follow the Japan's central bank. Because that would definitely have a cascading effect on everybody. That was a, would be a surprise thing. There's lots of things. I mean, yeah, I mean, you could have even the, you know, the Republicans. Maybe they won't raise the debt ceiling. And maybe they'll actually default. Is that going to take the dollar to zero? Maybe. Or, you know, so I think something weird that, you know, you could have a, you know, if there was a earthquake, I mean, depending on, I mean, so all kinds of things can happen. Someone told me a long time that, you know, they talked that they looked to that one catastrophic event and they absolutely said it would be some sort of a natural catastrophic event, you know, some sort of a, look, if Yellowstone would blow up or, you know, so I'm not even so sure Yellowstone would do it, but, so yeah. It's coming.
It's coming, yes, it is.
But you're going to lose everything before it gets here.
Well, that's what Klaus Schwab said. Between 30, you own nothing, you're happy, right?
Yep.
That's what he said.
Absolutely, because government will be there to help you.
There you go. But Norway's digital currency project raises privacy questions, so Norway's going into it pretty fast. At this point, the test network for the Norwegian CBDC uses not the public Ethereum ecosystem, but a private version of an enterprise blockchain Hyperledger. The small Nordic country of Norway may not be particularly notable on the global crypto map. With its 22 blockchain solution providers, the nation's stand doesn't stand out even at the regional level. However, as the race to test and implement central bank digital currencies accelerates every day, the Scandinavian nation is taking an active stance on its own national digital currency. In fact, it was among the first countries to begin to work on a CBDC back in 2016. In recent years, amid a rise in cashless payment methods and concern over cash embedded or enabled illicit transactions, some Norwegian banks have moved to remove cash options altogether. In 2016, Trond Bernestuen, then an executive at a major Norwegian bank in DNB, proposed to stop using cash as means of payment in the country. Today, there are approximately 50 billion kroner in circulation, and the country's central bank, Norges Bank, can only account for 40% of its use. That means that 60% of the money usage is outside of any control. And they can't have that, Melody. They got to have control. A year before that, another large Norwegian bank, Nordea, also refused to accept cash, leaving only the one branch in Oslo Central Station to continue handling cash. So they're doing away with cash in Norway, right? This is about as quick as they can get it done. But they said they can't control for 60% of the cash. They can't control that. And they have to have control in order to bring what they want to bring in, Melody. So that's what we're seeing. It isn't about people and concern for people's welfare. It's all about control, isn't it?
You know, it really is. But it is, you know, it is about control, but it is also about our current monetary system collapsing and not working anymore in the world that we live. So, you know, I'm going back to the basics. You know, we saw, you know, El Salvador became the first country, I believe, to adapt a crypto as their official currency, and it didn't work. And you got to know that, you know, they're pushing, you know, you have a lot of these governments and so forth. Yeah, they're pushing. They're pushing for these cryptocurrencies because look where it's dealt, you know, and I'm still going back to the basics. And sure, the cryptocurrencies have evolved and so forth. And yes, I believe eventually, yeah, it's the world that we live in. Technology is taking over everything. It's going to take over your medical, your, I mean, just everything. So it's going to take over your money also. There's money to be made in this. So, but yet it still has to be accepted in order for it to be used. I mean, there was a report. I mean, most of the citizens of El Salvador, they didn't want it. They're forced on it. It became, but it still ran alongside the U.S. dollar. So, you know, what happens when you have something like Bitcoin hitting a 60,000 high and then breaching all the way down to, 15,000?
Something like that, yeah.
Gee.
Now, it's back up.
You have to have a little more stability than that. So they're going to have to find a way. So if they go to crypto, they're still going to have to find something to stabilize. So what would that be?
Some are discussing gold-backed crypto.
Absolutely. It would have to be gold. It would be a basket of currencies, whether they're, you know, led by, you know, digital currencies. It's still a percentage would have to be in there with gold. So
we're seeing it come together. And this article I was wanting to share this past Friday ran out of time. This is on WEF. Hackable humans at WEF. We can decode faces in your mind, your PIN number to your bank account. If you thought freedom of speech was worth preserving, next comes freedom of thought. Thanks to AI and Internet of Bodies, IOB's ecosystem, decoding the human brain is already well underway, according to the World Economic Forum presentation. Now, this is just bits and pieces of the whole article, and you can find it all online, folks, under our website, pastorbush.com and Mark the Beast Technology. 5 years after historian Yuval Noah Harari told the WEF that humans were hackable and that organisms were algorithms, Harari's insight had been fully realized. Thursday WEF annual meeting at 2023 session on the Ready for Brain Transparency opened with a short video showing a dystopian scenario where employees' brainwaves were not only decoded to determine their performance in the workplace, but also determine whether they participate in legal activity. AI has enabled advances in decoding brain activity in ways we never before thought possible. What you think, what you feel, it's all just data. Data that in large patterns can be decoded using artificial intelligence. And the devices to decode the human brain don't have to be invasive as a brain implant. Devices can be as non-invasive as a Fitbit for your brain. Your thoughts are not your own. With smart headphones, hats or earbuds, tattoos, we can pick up emotional states like you're happy or sad or angry. We can pick up and decode faces that you're seeing in your mind, your PIN number to your bank account. We're not talking about implant devices of the future. I'm talking about wearable devices like the Fitbits for your brain, said Fair Haney. It's a lady that made the speech. Melody, that's getting pretty much to the point where your thoughts even aren't your own. That's kind of spooky, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Remember the movie Minority Report?
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
There you go. Folks, this is all for real. Movies have foretold our future for a long, long time. I mentioned this before in the program. Many years ago, this show on Star Trek where a man married a computer. They merged as one. Now we're seeing it happen. It's literally happening. And even Hattari said that we'll all be part of the hive, so to speak. If you break out of the hive, you'll probably die. This is what's been talked about right now as we're sitting on the radio today. This has been discussed right now. I mean, maybe it's years down the road. I don't know. But they're talking about it, and that alone should make us pay attention. Go ahead, Melody.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I don't have anything else to say to that.
It's just, it's spooky beyond words.
It is spooky.
It's just spooky beyond words. To know that you can't even have a private thought. It's almost like getting married to you, know, so.
Hey, be nice. Be nice to all those wives out there. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
775-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Dream, 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 when I want you in my arms, when I want you, and all your charms whenever I want.
There's some music
now.
A little more volume.
Yes, for you old folks out there.
Better be careful now. That song was good. Everybody loved that song.
I know. Like I said, it's easy to sing to. 1-800-375-4188. That's a number that's easy to dial. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Butch Paul, Pastor Butch Paul. What's next?
Well, I'll ask a quick question again. It's an economic question. I'll go back to more news. A 10-ounce gold piece is worth about what now?
Oh, they're expensive, about $250.
Gee,
yeah,
wow.
They're expensive, yeah.
Okay.
They're still very expensive. That's why I didn't do 1/10 ounce gold eagles. That's why I did the 1/4 ounce because the premium wasn't as steep. Okay. But those 1/10 ounce are still hefty.
Gee. Okay. Back to some more news. Now, this, folks, is a serious situation. We don't see it so much here in West Virginia or probably Maryland or other places, but along the border, towns are really hurting. Border cities on the brink of collapse and an unprecedented migrant surge has left hospitals and food banks overloaded. Number of crossings is the highest for 30 years. The border city of Yuma, Arizona, is at a breaking point with an unprecedented flow of migrants leaving the community at the brink of collapse and the hospitals and food banks overloaded. Yuma County Supervisor Jonathan Lyons slammed the Biden administration for its handling of the border crisis and said his country will crumble as it can't support the cascading flow of migrants. Officials say some 5 million migrants have crossed over the southern border, since January 2021, when the Biden administration took over the White House. After Yuma County's Border Patrol saw a 171% increase, folks, 171% increase in migrant crossing between 2020 and 2022, Mr. Lyons has warned that the situation will only get worse. Melody, you have to feel sorry for these towns. However, for the country. But these towns are right on the main floodgate, so to speak. And they're getting hammered. I mean, what can they do with them? And it sounds heartless, but shouldn't the state be putting up a defend themselves somehow from this and use the state guard if they had to? I mean, if they want to survive, they're going to have to do something, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing just what's going on at the border, and it's just shocking. It truly is shocking. I can't believe the states aren't doing more, but when they try to do it, the Fed, you know, then they come in and, you know, pretty easy. Well, we're going to pull your federal funding if you don't do that, you know. So, you know, they put the states, and none of the states are strong enough to stand up to the federal government. Texas is, you know, maybe Florida, but, you know, Arizona certainly isn't. So, yeah, it's these towns are being destroyed. It's shocking. It really
is
shocking. Even New York City, with all of the, you know, what's interesting, I saw a report this weekend where they're putting up more of those shelters. The first one they put up, they took down, then they put it up again. And supposedly they're putting up 5 of them, and one of them is right by the cruise terminals. And I'm thinking, so people that are going on a cruise will have to walk past or be accosted. I don't know if they'll be accosted, but they'll have to I mean, is there going to be a borderline between the sheltering these illegals versus people going on a vacation? I thought, what a strange place to put one. But I don't know. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, Melody, you mentioned about the states can't afford to stand against the Fed, but they're not going to have any choice. If they want to exist, they're going to have to say, all right, we're not going, all right, if you hold the funds from us, Fed, we won't send our federal money to you. We'll keep it here in our state and run our state with it, which I think would be a great idea, in my opinion, you know, keep it independent. But they're not going to have any choice. Either they stand up for themselves or going to lose it, like the cities along the border in Arizona and Texas through there. If they don't stem this tide, they can't support these people. And I know a lot of them are coming on through into the country, realize that. But they're being overwhelmed. The 171% increase in a year, they can't sustain that very long. They're going to say no, period, and mean it. I don't know whether it's going to happen or not. I know it's politics. I realize that. The governors of the state cry and whine, but they're not doing much about it, are they?
Nope.
So anyway, we'll move on from that now. That's my 2 cents worth on that for today. Britain's to be paid to not use electricity between 5 and 6 p.m. on Monday today. Now, this is more than a million U.K. households will be offered money for them to cut their electricity use between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. on Monday in a move that follows the national grid bringing back mothballed coal plants today to ensure supply. This really, in a way, tickled me that they're bringing back coal, something that you can depend on. It does a job. And it isn't destroying the environment any longer. They have scrubs on the coal plants now that clean the all comes out of the coal plants now, steam, basically. But some people across Britain are being offered up to £20 or $24.76 to dramatically reduce their electricity usage between 5 and 6 p.m. on Monday evening in an attempt to curb the country's electricity use in the face of potential shortages. It will be the first time such payments will be issued under the National Grid's Demand Flexibility Service, which was introduced last year in the hopes of preventing power blackouts. Now, according to an online statement by the Energy Board, the emergency system is planned to be engaged for the first time this evening, with freezing cold temperatures reportedly causing problems for energy availability in Britain. So far, 3 coal-fired power plants in the country have been ordered to make themselves ready for use to combat the shortages, with a combination of freezing temperatures, short days, and little wind hammering the UK's green energy production at a time when significant supply is needed to heat and light people's homes. Wind energy particularly has appeared to have dropped dramatically, going from making up to 50% of the UK's electricity supply 1 week ago to 25% on Saturday, pushing the country back into more reliable alternatives. And I like that. Listen to this. Push the country back into more reliable alternatives. Shouldn't that be a key word, Melody, for all this? Reliable? Shouldn't that be a key word?
You would think.
I mean, for 100 years or longer, they've depended on coal and done a good job, and it hadn't destroyed the environment yet. It's not going to. So it was reliable. It was there. It worked. So they switched to wind and solar, which is not that reliable. I don't know. I think they're over intelligent than themselves. They're biting themselves in their butt. Any comments on that?
Well, the real problem, I don't believe, really is the green converting. It's really the overpopulation. So to me, I think that's where they're really focused on, is the population. Because going to these alternative sources is not going to help because the population is too great. So, in their minds. So anyway, that's just a comment. So it's really the population. There's just too many people to fit into their little program. And
I don't know.
So there will have to be some sort of an elimination, a culling of the population.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do right now. And there's enough energy in this earth to supply, I think, in my mind, to supply the population, but they don't want to use it. They want to play their games, obviously.
This next article, make, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's probably not enough money right now, and if they call the populations now.
That could be true.
It's all about money. It's all about money and power. They're going to do whatever they have to do and adjust so they make the most.
Money and control. So, you mentioned this article last week. I'm just going to mention again very quickly to make a point of this. Egg smuggling cases double at the U.S.-Mexico border as prices skyrocket. They're cracking down on contraband breakfast. That's so funny. Alongside the usual shipments of drugs and guns confiscated in the U.S. border, customs officials are intercepting a surprising commodity, eggs. Traffickers are attempting to sneak thousands of Mexican huevos across the border per week after skyrocketing prices have made them a hot property, costing up to $8 per dozen in certain parts of America. There was a phone call to Melly on another program this morning, so I brought this up. From Michigan, the guy is buying fresh eggs, farm-raised eggs, $12 a dozen now. $1 an egg. Now that's stupendous. That's outstanding. That's amazing. Who would believe they'd be paying $1 an egg for fresh eggs anywhere? And Michigan is not necessarily a complete urban state. It's got a lot of rural country up there. But $12 a dozen. So now you can see the profit in this. And these people, of course, if they're caught, they can get up $10,000 fine for smuggling eggs across the border. But $12 a dozen, Melody, any comments on that?
No. Save your pennies.
$12 a dozen. It could get up that people can't even afford to buy eggs to eat. It could happen. It really could. Gee. Different topic, and this is another thing I think is heating up for a reason that the elite wanted to, obviously. Extremely dangerous. Russia reacts to U.S. plans to help attack Crimea. Folks, we said World War III has already started, and it has. And it could escalate into something very, very big, very fast. The State Department appeared to confirm that the U.S. is in discussions with Ukrainian officials on a potential offensive against the peninsula by... And that's what, folks, listen to this. The U.S. Department has affirmed they're wanting to join Ukraine to attack Crimea. Russian official on Thursday reacted to a report from the New York Times that said the U.S. was warming up to the idea of helping Ukraine strike Crimea despite the risk of Russian escalation. When asked about the report on Wednesday, State Department spokesman Ned Price didn't deny its content and said, Crimea is Ukraine, as the U.S. hasn't recognized Crimea as Russian since Russia took control of it in 2014. Anatoly Antonov, Russian ambassador to the U.S., responded to Price's comments and the reports likening the plans to a potential terrorist attacks and warning of escalation. The State Department threw out of touch assertions that Crimea is Ukraine and that the armed forces of Ukraine can use American weapons to protect their territory is essentially pushing Kyiv regime to carry out terrorist attacks in Russia. Antonov said, according to a press release from Russian embassy in the U.S. Folks, this is not looking good at all, because Russia holds drills, folks, on repelling air attacks on Moscow. They're actually holding drills to protect the capital of Moscow. Days after widespread reports that Russia had erected Panzer S-1 anti-air defense systems on top of some key buildings in Moscow, which triggered speculation that Russia is expecting more attacks from Ukraine on soil, the Kremlin ramped up an anti-air exercise outside Moscow. The Defense Ministry confirmed in a Saturday statement, in the Moscow region, a training station was held with the personnel of Anti-Aircraft Missile Brigade of the Western Military District, repelling air attacks on important military, industrial, administrative facilities. The combat exercise was considered on operation of S-300 anti-aircraft missile system. As they marched, soldiers repelled an attack by a mock enemy sabotage group on a military convoy. Under the cover of a smokescreen, the air defense convoy was able to get out of the attack, continue fulfilling its task, the defense ministry said in reference to the 150 soldiers that participated. So it's not looking good, folks. EU sets up nuclear stockpile on Russian border. Now, this is getting very serious, is it not?
It certainly is.
Finland will be home to a strategic reserve for atomic and chemical emergency response. The European Commission announced on Tuesday that it will set up the first strategic reserve equipment and supplies available to any EU member response to potential chemical nuclear incidents. The stockpile will be located in Finland, within easy reach of the Baltic states. The European Commissioner for Crisis Management, Janez Lenarsik, said the conflict in Ukraine confirmed the need to set up a stockpile, which will provide the EU with a significant safety net, enabling a quick and coordinated response at EU level. The hoard will include critical medical countermeasures, according to EU Euronews, including vaccines and antidotes, medical devices, and field response equipment needed to respond to biological, radiological, and nuclear incidents. In theory, the facility should be able to send supplies within 12 hours of the affected member accepting the EU's offer of help. Brussels has approved £242 million, that's $266 million, in funding programs. So, folks, they're now preparing themselves for nuclear war in the EU. They're building up the stockpiles because they know it's going to happen. Individual countries do not have sufficient measurement capacity and expert resources to respond to large-scale radiation accidents. So they're going to put up a general stockpile that you can use because nuclear war, they believe they see it coming in the very near future. This is getting serious. I mean, for the first time in history I know of, this has happened. So, I don't know, Melody, this is getting very serious. It's getting really scary. They're literally preparing to be attacked, a nuclear attack, and Moscow sent up air defense in Moscow. So, that's getting on the shaky side.
Absolutely, and again, more warnings are coming out from, you know, they're the Russian leaders and saying that they'll retaliate if Western arms are used in attempts to seize Russian territories. And, you know, you hear that kind of talk, and it's just like, hey, there's going to be a, you know, there's going to be a fallout for it. So
it's going to be a reckoning.
Absolutely. I hear the music.
We're
out of time.
Wow.
So we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe. Good night. And God bless.
Hey. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.